and I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source, Michael Russo. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. This is the first episode of the 2022-23 season. I'm coming to you from Las Vegas, where I'm covering the NHL Media Tour with Pierre LeBrun. I did the one, as you know, in Sweden in late August solo. I was actually the only North American print journalist there, although I guess technically I'm not a print journalist anymore. But I was the only writer there, let's put it that way, from North America. So that was cool. I got exclusive access to all like 20-some-odd players I got there, sat down with Philip Gustafson. Hopefully everybody read that story. The Joel Eriksson next story will be coming here either before training camp or right at the start of training camp. So everybody will love that story because he gave me, I cannot explain to you the hospitality they showed me. Picked me up at the train station, took me around his town of Karlstad, brought me to his childhood home where his parents made a feast, and then sent me off with food too, like I needed more. And then we go to his childhood rink and where he also played professionally, where his dad played and coached professionally, Farstad, and then hung around a bit and then went back to the train station and head back off to Stockholm for the media tour. So that will be a real fun story that'll be coming up here in the next couple of days. But yesterday I got a chance to hang out with Matt Boldy a bit, and you'll hear that podcast on this show. Matt is, last time that I did a podcast with Matt, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've only done one Straight from the Source with Matt Boldy. It was actually, if I remember correctly, on the same episode with Marco Rossi before even Boldy played an NHL game. I could be getting this totally wrong. It was a real fun podcast, but what struck me yesterday is that he was at this media tour, you know, 2 years later from this podcast. Before, he was just a rookie, and now he is an absolute star. 34 goals last year, or 30 some odd goals last year. Got this new $49 million contract, and then he's not only here with, you know, superstars galore, but he's here with a lot of his comrades that he grew up playing with, the Matty Beniers of the world, Cole Caulfield, the Hughes brothers, players like that. But then he's also here, I mean, you look around the room here and he's with legends like Anze Kopitar and Sidney Crosby, but then you got, you know, newbies like Connor Bedard, who we'll talk about in a little bit, but Jack Eichel coming off a cup, and Johnny Gaudreau, and Charlie McAvoy, who is maybe my favorite player that I've talked to yesterday, at least. The Tkachuk brothers, who he knows well, Clayton Keller, Tavares. And then today we're getting Anders Lee. I think everybody here that's listening to this podcast knows Anders. Jason Robertson, Tage Thompson, Tom Wilson, Bowen Byram, Philip Forsberg, Quinn Hughes, Jack Hughes, Dylan Larkin, Mikhail Sergachev, who we've had on the Athletic Hockey Show before, Jacob Trouba, Adam Fox, Connor McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl. So we end the day with a couple slouches, no big deal. You'll enjoy this podcast with Matt Boldy. I think it's a pretty good one. We talk about, obviously, the golf tournament that Joe Smith covered, and hopefully everybody read Joe's great coverage, not only at the tournament, but leading into the tournament. And then we talk about last year, how he could build on what was a great regular season, but a tough postseason for him and the rest of the Wild. And then we talk about just a bunch of fun stuff as well. You know, the loss of Matt Dumba, though, that wasn't very fun. Listen to him and how much he'll be missed. And you know, newbies like Pat Maroon and all that stuff. So hopefully everybody enjoys this podcast. As I mentioned, I'm at the media tour. Yesterday, we also got Bill Daly. He talked a lot about the Olympics and the hope to have one in 2026, but also an international tournament, World Cup like. It's hard to say. They're gonna have to get creative with this, especially if Russia's still not in the IIHF at that point. God forbid, that's 2 years from now. Let's hope that everything starts to calm down there with the war with Ukraine. Right now they're looking at a 2025 international tournament, but they can't exactly say exactly what it's going to be because we might have to get creative with it. But they can't say that there's gonna be eight nations or things like that, but that's the hope. The other thing is, last time I was here for the Stanley Cup final, it sounded like any day now they were going to announce T-Mobile Arena being the host of the 2024 draft. Here we are in September and there's no announcement for the 2024 draft, which clearly shows that there was some complications there. What I gather is that T-Mobile Arena suddenly has a conflict with scheduling and they're kind of scrambling to find a new home for the draft. And potentially this could be the first draft since 2005 that might not be in an NHL arena. And that one was because of the lockout. If I remember correctly, that was at the Ottawa Westin. And the reason why I don't know that for sure is because I actually had to cover the draft from Europe because we didn't know when the lockout was going to end. And I was actually, if I remember correctly, I covered maybe the lottery because I was there when Sidney Crosby got awarded to Pittsburgh, but I don't think I covered the draft, if I remember correctly. There's a lot of words there that you probably don't care about, but I'm hoping the 2024 draft is still going to be in Vegas, but maybe at a different site. But I get the impression that because of this conflict with the draft, they had to move the NHL awards, and that both these things could be announced here in the coming days. But I have a feeling that the NHL awards will be probably in a different city, you know, maybe a place like LA or something like that. So we'll see what happens there. You know, Bill Daly talked about World Junior issue. That's still, we're waiting for the 2018 scandal to be announced. Part of it is because they're waiting for the police investigation to be completed and check all boxes before announced. But I think it's pretty obvious some of the names that we're going to find out were involved in this. I think it's pretty obvious. We don't need to name names yet, but just pay attention to guys that have been unsigned here the last year or two. And some other stuff that's happened on social media in the coming days, in the past recent days. So we'll see what that investigation is all about. Those were sort of the highlights of Bill Daly, if I remember correctly. As I mentioned, just real fun talking to these guys. I had a real fun time talking to Mario Ferraro, who's got like no teeth, by the way, about Jake Middleton. Love talking to Matty Beniers about Brock Faber. Obviously, we got Boldy and Caulfield and all those guys. Like I mentioned, Charlie McAvoy is just, you know, genius to talk to today, and will be as fun as well. Coming up here for the Wild. So Joe and I did it today, 10 bold questions or 10 questions. There's not really bold questions going into training camp because the team is pretty much a lock. You know, we don't even think that they're going to be able to afford a 13th forward to start the season, especially depending on what Kalen Addison eventually signs for here. But if he gets over the league minimum, they can barely afford anybody over a league minimum for a 13th forward. And those guys would include maybe like a Nick Petan and a Vinny Lettieri, but the young guys like Beckman and Walker, it'd be tough to slide them onto the team. And either way, they're you know, with a home opener and then going on the road, if they get out of the home opener unscathed and they get a camp unscathed going up to Canada, my guess is that they don't keep a 13th forward, that they're going to try to do their best at the beginning of the season to accrue cap space to make sure that they are in position to afford call-ups without having to play eventually a man short to get that sort of caveat. If they're in a cap hell situation where they just can't afford an extra player, they might have to play a man short at some point. So this is going to be constant massaging of the cap all year long by Chris O'Hearn and the staff that Bill Guerin works with as well. So, you know, pay attention to that in camp, but there's really not a lot there. I mean, Marco Rossi is going to be the biggest intrigue, but as I've talked before on other podcasts and with Joe and in articles, it's going to be hard to measure what Marco Rossi's success is in training camp. You know, we know he stuck around all summer. This guy was so determined to make the team that he actually missed his summer, his sister's wedding. Didn't go back to Austria for that because he didn't want to miss any captain's practices here the last couple weeks. But this is somebody that led the league in points in the preseason last year. So if he has an incredibly productive preseason again, how do you measure if that's real until the lights come on for the regular season and we actually see him in regular season games? So, you know, I'm probably going to temper the way that I write about Rosso in camp, because last year I remember being super excited watching him, you know, stack up points in the preseason, and we've learned, frankly, that it meant nothing once the regular season began. So I think that until that happens, we're not going to know. But I fully expect him to make the team. In the article that we wrote today, the 10 bold questions, we basically lay out what we think the lines will be at the start of training camp. Now, as we know, it's training camp. Everything is barring injuries, is barring, you know, experiments that Dean Evason and his staff want to make. But right now, what we envision the lines are very similar to what they ended last year. Kaprizov with Hartman and Zuccarello, Johansson with Eriksson-Ek and Boldy. That line was absolutely on fire, and particularly Boldy just caught fire last year after Marcus Johansson was acquired. And then obviously the Eriksson-Ek broken leg changed everything there. But you know, why wouldn't you go back to that? So Marco Rossi most likely will start on a third line with Marcus Foligno and Freddie Goodrow, and then a fourth line of Pat Maroon, the newbie, with Connor Dewar and Brandon Duhame, and then Vinny Letteri on a fifth line, and we'll see who his wingers are, maybe Sammy Walker and Adam Peckman. Blue line look very similar to last year, minus Matt Dumba, Jake Middleton with Jared Spurgeon, we think, to start, Jonas Brodin with Brock Faber, and then Alex Goligoski and John Merrill will be flip-flopping probably as your lefty on your third pair with Kalen Addison once Addison is signed. Addison's been working out with the team, been around everything. Now we'll see if he's not signed in the next week, how that changes things, but my guess is that Kalen Addison at some point here is going to be signed. Sure hope so. Would not be good. What I'll be mostly interested in to see is Brock Faber, because Faber was great. Didn't give up. Wasn't on the ice for a goal in his two regular season games or his final or the six playoff games. And he's going to start the season with Jonas Brodin. But as we know, every single game that Jonas Brodin is out there, especially at home, he gets a steady diet of the top guys. So home opener, he's going to be out there against Matthew Tkachuk. In Toronto, you know, Dean will try to get him out there against Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and or William Nylander in those games. You know, Montreal, Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. Can Brock Faber handle that? If he can't, maybe what you do is you go back to a Brodin Spurgeon pair and have Jake Middleton and Faber as your second pair. We'll see. But right now, I think Faber is going to start with Jonas Brodin. We talk about the roster battles in camp. I just laid that out. There's not a lot of them. It's just, to be frank, there's just not a lot. Not because they don't have good enough players, but there's just the cap space. We know who the one-way contracts are, and so Marco Rossi is going to be the biggest deal. Injuries change everything. If it's a minor injury, again, they're going to be up against it coming out of camp with the salary cap. We talk about what Jason King and the impact that he could have on the power play. We talk about who has the most to prove. We believe, obviously, Rossi is right there. We talk about where the goals will come from beyond Kaprizov and Boldy and the need for Eriksson Ek and Goodrow to have really quality years again. I remember Goodrow scored 19 goals last year and Eriksson Ek had a career high 61 points. But the need for guys like Ryan Hartman and Marcus Foligno to bounce back and for other guys to chip in offensively. We talk about the health of the team going into camp right now. We are under the impression that everybody is healthy, including Eriksson Ek, but all the guys at the end of the year that were playing Hurd, Zuccarello, Goodrow, Foligno, Hartman, they're all said to be healthy. We talk about Pat Maroon. We talk about who will get the bulk of the starts with Gustafson and Flower. We think at the beginning of the year, it could be a very, you know, I don't know if a strict rotation, but we could see both of them getting a lot of games. And then the second half, whoever's deserving will get the most. And then we talk about why Addison isn't signed. PTOs are interesting. Bill Guerin has never really loved them. Right now, Phil Kessel is here in Vegas, skating with the Vegas Golden Knights, I've been told. But technically, he's a free agent. That's somebody who wouldn't shock me if he intrigued Billy G. But, you know, you sign Phil Kessel one or you bring him in on a PTO. You know, I guess, do you really want that? One, you even if he makes the team out of camp, you might not even be able to afford him. And two, to me, it's just a roadblock of Adam Beckman and Sammy Walker. I think it would be, you know, if there was an opening, I think it would be make more sense to put one of those two on the team. So Bill Guerin has never been a big fan of PTOs, but he's not always ruled it out. So that's the only name out there right now that I really threw out there because I could just see Phil Kessel intriguing Bill. But again, I don't think I just don't think it would happen. Rookie showcase is coming up here. The Wild play the St. Louis Blues on Friday night. I believe 7 p.m. ish. I should have the times in front of me, but I don't. Then the Blackhawks and the Blues play on Saturday night at 6. So then the Wild, I think at 3 p.m. on Sunday, play the Chicago Blackhawks. I talked to Connor Bedard yesterday and I asked him why he's coming. And, you know, I just cannot believe that the Blackhawks, especially because we know that Bedard is going to make the Blackhawks out of camp, would not just keep him back, have him skate with the NHL guys and risk injury against not only just a bunch of prospects for the Blues and the Wild, but a bunch of tryout guys, a bunch of invitees who are trying to make an impression. Just seems like a huge risk, especially in light of, if you remember, Kirby Dach suffered that major injury at the World Junior exhibition game years ago when they sent, Kirby Dach made the Blackhawks, they sent him to World Juniors and then he got hurt. So it just seems like an unnecessary risk. The Wild have had that before in Traverse City where, you know, guys like Mason Schauff tore their ACL. I remember Gustav Olofsson got hurt there. There have been other guys as well. It just seems like an unnecessary risk, but I ask Bedard about that. In his typical humble fashion, he said that he's no different than any rookies and he wants to play in it. So I think that it was him saying, no, I'm going. So we'll see. We'll get our all eyes on Connor Bedard against both the Blues and the Wild on Saturday and Sunday night. That'll be super exciting. You also have the Wild lineup. You know, they have obviously their college kids and their Europeans are not coming to the prospect camp. So there's a lot of invitees and then some other prospects as well. But this is not your typical. This is not a full showing of your Wild prospects at all. A couple other things major going on with the Wild prospects. One, Kuznetsov, again, is not getting a lot of ice time. I don't know if his team is trying to put pressure on him to now re-sign there, but really concerning. I mean, this is the problem with drafting Russians. You know, his team is just not giving him ice time. He's getting like 9 minutes. The more serious one is Liam Ogren, I believe, has a back injury. He's not playing in their openers this year for Farstad, this week for Farstad. He hasn't played in the final preseason games. And right now he's just sitting in the press box trying to get better. But the team and Ogren and the Wild are working in tandem to try to figure out, one, what exactly is wrong with him and the course of action. But from what I understand or what I'm gathering, Ogren's going to be out a while. So that's really concerning for the Wild's top prospects and a first round pick, especially remember the Wild are hoping to bring Yurov, who scored his first KHL goal the other day, who's on Dinov and Ogren over here together next year. So we'll see. We'll have to pay attention, one, what's going on with Kuznetsov and one, what's going on with Ogren. But the Kuznetsov thing just is incredibly concerning. And you just wonder how, you know, it hurts the development. And this is, again, why teams have trouble, you know, or are hesitant drafting these guys. Let me go to Twitter questions. I asked, or X questions, I guess we can call them. I didn't give people a lot of advance notice, but when I woke up, I decided, hey, I'm going to do this open for Boldy, and I got to get out to the rink here in a couple minutes. But I decided to ask for questions if anybody had any going into camp. Meanwhile, Info says, looking ahead, who's to target once the Parisi suitor cap falls off? I know guys like Marner Rantanen, Draisaitl, Hedman, and Ekblad will be available, and they will not be available. That's not a guarantee. They may be available, and that's why, to me, it's not worth paying attention to. That's why Joe and I did a story, and we're very vague on the possibilities, but we did that earlier in August, so definitely check that out. And Joe and I, on the last podcast, actually talked about that story and why we wrote it the way that we did, so definitely check that out there. Let's see. Peter says, who presses Dean's button the most in the locker room? If you mean that, like, makes him angry, probably not a lot of players. I mean, Kevin Fiala is now in LA, so I haven't heard of anybody that really gets him going and gets him ticked off and things like that. Joshua Velchev asks, what's my favorite cigar? Davidoff Late Hour, and then I just bought a bunch of Romeo Julieta's 1875s, the Connecticut wrap. So definitely check that out. Lucas Lawrence says, any movement on the Kalen Addison front? I'll be honest, I haven't checked in the last 5 days. 5 days ago, nothing was going on. So absolutely nothing was going on. So my guess here is that changes real quick. And there's just not a lot of movement that the Wild can do. So I don't see the Wild budging, and I eventually seeing Kalen, you know, realizing I better sign and get into camp and then bet on himself and have a big year. Johnson from Wisconsin says, what are his favorite courses in the Twin Cities? He says that on the podcast. It's Oak Hill. Let's see. Hamboni asks, what is the latest on Mason Shaw? It seems like he's trying to remain near the team with all the summer activities we've seen. Is there a target return date? And is there a word on if there is a new contract option for him? Maybe sign, like, have a two-way to start. The Wild can't afford to sign him to a two-way right now. So he would need to sign probably an AHL deal and continue his rehab up here if he wants to. And then eventually, when he's ready to return, go down to Iowa, play. And then the hope would be turning that AHL deal to an NHL deal. He would have to clear waivers to get to back to the NHL, though, or to actually officially sign that contract, though, is my understanding. But right now, the Wild are being pretty kind to him. They offered him the AHL deal. From what I understand, he didn't accept it. Maybe that changes here in the coming days, because I'm sure he's going to want to get paid. But regardless, They've been real kind to him and they're letting him be around the team. He's basically part of the team. He's working out of TRIA. They're paying his rehab, all that type of stuff. Stick on the Ice guy says, looks like Parisi may retire. What would the cap or capture penalty look like if the Wild had not bought him out? I put that in a recent story, basically. And by the way, right now I have reached out to Zach. He hasn't reached out back. So, you know, technically, Islanders don't like, players talking. So he might just not want to talk right now. And, you know, from what Lou Lamoriello said the other day is that he's not retiring and that he's staying in Minnesota and that eventually, you know, maybe he would sign at some point this season. So maybe in Zach's mind, he's thinking to himself, maybe I shouldn't talk and close the book on my career and all that stuff. And then if I sign, I sign. And you know, you don't piss off Lou and the Islanders who like to control all of that. But back to that. So basically, if the Wild had traded him, they would have immediately triggered cap recapture if he had retired prematurely. This is 2 years premature. And then it would be $7.5 million until it was paid off the debt. So it would have been if the Wild had found out, let's say today, that and they traded him to the Islanders, that he was retiring, the Wild would suddenly have to get rid of $7.5 million worth of players right now. This is why they made the decision to buy him out, especially at that stage of Parisi's career where it just didn't look like he was the same player that he was. Now, he went to the Islanders for 2 years, had 2 good years last year's top 20 goals again. But this is why the Wild made that bold decision and not trade him. They didn't want to risk the fact that all of a sudden they would find out on the eve of training camp that they had to get rid of a bunch of players. So that's why they did it. In hindsight, it looks like a smart thing, because let's say that Parisi was doing this now, I would love, and the Wild had traded him and he was not deciding whether or not to retire, just not sign. I really wonder how the league would have handled this. Because technically he hasn't retired, so cap recapture shouldn't be put in there. But the league could have looked at this as like maybe Parisi's trying to do the Wild favors and not officially say anything, and then they're not getting dinged. So I think that probably the Wild wouldn't have to get rid of those players now, $7.5 million of players. But if Parisi never plays again retroactively, that cap recapture that the Wild would have had triggered once they traded him to the Islanders. Remember before that fell apart years ago. It would kick in. And this is again why the Wild made the decision. You might not like it, but Bill Guerin wanted cost certainty because he didn't want to be in a position where a year or two later, all of a sudden he gets a phone call. Hello, Zach's not playing. I know training camp's next week, but you got to get rid of $7.5 million worth of players. That'd be untenable right now. How would the Wild do that right now? Just look at their roster and say, get rid of players. And then how would they afford to have a team? You'd have to have $7.5 million less of players, and they barely have enough players to afford Kalen Addison right now. So in hindsight, now that this is becoming real, it makes a lot more sense what the Wild did. So hopefully everybody understands what I just said. I got to get out to the Uber because Pierre LeBrun's going to get impatient with me. We got to get out to Henderson because everybody I know is going to want to hear from Anders Lee. Thanks everybody for listening to Straight from the Source. Hopefully everybody likes this Matt Boldy podcast. We'll be doing these semi-regularly again this season. The next pod, as I talk at the end of the show, will be Joe Smith and I probably sitting down with Pat Maroon next week. So that we hope will be the next podcast. But without further ado, here is Matt Boldy.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, really happy to be joined by Matt Boldy. And Matt, you know, I'm struck by the last time I did a podcast with you, it was before your rookie year. I remember doing it like yesterday. I did it with you and Rossi back to back. And here we are 2 years later. You're a 30-plus goal scorer, new big deal starting this year as well. And here you're at the NHL Media Tour with not only a bunch of stars like McDavid and Drysdale and Crosby, but you, guys that you grew up with, Jack Hughes, Quinn Hughes, Matty Beniers, your buddy over there, Cole Caulfield. I mean, isn't it amazing how life has changed in the last 2 years?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think like you said, obviously there's some guys here that are mega superstars and guys that you look up to growing up and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, to see kind of the guys that we play at the program with, guys that are some of your best friends and stuff like that, it's awesome. Yeah. And I mean, it's honestly weird just kind of look around and see everyone. So
yeah, what was your big like welcome to the NHL moment? Everybody talks about that moment on the ice when you're like, oh, I'm playing against, you know, Crosby. But how about off the ice? Like Beniers was saying, like he remembers like yesterday, last year, going into his first hotel room and sending videos to his parents and on the team charter and things like that. Like there's a lot of stuff that the average fan doesn't get to see that that you guys get.
For sure, yeah, it's. They treat us very well, we'll say that. I think, I mean, you walk in, especially, I've known Maddie since he was little and stuff like that. But yeah, you walk into a hotel room. I've never been in a hotel that nice before in my life. So to kind of go do that and see that stuff. And then I think the meals are kind of the coolest thing too. I think that was pretty cool. Or you could eat basically whatever you wanted they had. So it was, that was kind of my... wow, this is pretty cool. They treat you pretty great here.
So you're coming off a pretty fun last couple of weeks where you went up to Brainerd and got to play in the Canadian Tour event. And I was reading Joe Smith, my colleague's story, and you were saying that you've never been that nervous. And I'm like, this is a guy that made his NHL debut in his hometown against his hometown team, scored the winning goal. And yet that, you said, was probably the most nervous you've ever been.
It was definitely different types of nerves, I think. Hockey, I feel like I black out a little bit more and it seems more natural, and this was definitely a lot different. I think kind of standing on that first tee, there's water in front of me too, so I was just hoping to hit it in the air, and I didn't even care where it went as long as it went in the air. So it's just so different. It's a different type of nerves. It's a different sport, different mentality going into everything. So.
How different is tournament golf? Because obviously we know, I've seen it, that you are such an exceptional golfer. And yet tournament golf's different and professional golf's different. And just the way that these things are the courses are laid out and everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, start with the courses and conditions. Yeah, they're going to make it harder no matter what. And I think, honestly, every shot matters. It's different when you're playing with your buddies and you can just scoop up the 2.5-3 footers when they're feeling nice and stuff like that. But when you got to stand over that and make it, and you got to make them 18 times in a round, it adds up, and definitely the nerves take over a bit.
What was it like having your brother caddy for you?
It was great. I think just to kind of spend time with him was the biggest thing. We had an awesome week, a lot of fun, and he didn't mess up too much. So
yeah, every bad shot, you're like, you gave me the wrong club or wrong read or
right
whatever.
On him.
That's hilarious. What's your favorite course in Minnesota?
Olympic Hills, Needham Prairie.
The Olympic Hills. Yeah. And what's the best round of golf that you've ever had?
Best I've ever had was a 65.
65? Where was that at?
Course in Boston.
And who on the Wild could rival you as a golfer? Like, I've heard Hartman's great.
Hartman's good. Marcus Johansson's really good. He doesn't play as much anymore, but I played with him last week, and he can play for sure. So, those two are really good. Matt Dumba's really good. We got a decent amount of guys that can play, so it's pretty fun.
You mentioned Marcus Johansson. I mean, last year when he got acquired by the Wild, you just absolutely lit it up. How much are you looking forward to maybe getting into camp here and having that same line now with Erickson Ek back healthy, having that start the season?
Yeah, super excited. I think obviously we all get along. Awesome guys, and that's half the battle. I mean, playing with guys that you're comfortable to talk to and comfortable and get along with and can laugh on the bench about certain plays and stuff like that, it's great. But obviously, when you put us all together, I think we all play very different, but we're all big guys that want to score and play in the offensive zone. And I think kind of all our styles complement each other in different ways, which is nice.
Yeah, what is it about Marcus that makes him such a great player?
I think everything. I think starts with just how well he skates. He's got to be one of the best skaters in the NHL. Just how fast he is, how quick, strong, dynamic, everything. And then you add that on top of how much skill he has and his vision. It definitely makes it easy to play with him. I think that was something I noticed right away. You let him skate with it, and and try to find an opening for him to make a play, and, mm-hmm. and he's going to find you. And I think that goes a long way throughout the course of a season in finding ways to create offense.
You know, I know that injuries are part of the game and that players are just used to it, and you probably let it roll off the back of your, you know, your shoulders all the time. But like in Pittsburgh last year when Eric Sneck broke his leg, like how much was that a bummer at the time? And as a team, even, do you realize at that point how just absolutely detrimental that was and the timing and what it could mean?
Yeah, I mean, look at the role he plays for our team. He's huge on our power play. He wins every faceoff. Huge net front guy. That's so good down there. He's our first guy over the boards for penalty kill. First guy to send out there to win a faceoff when you need one. It's everything. It goes a long way, I think. But like you said, it's the nature of the sport. Mm-hmm. No one sits there and looks back now and complains about it. It's how it happens, and that's the type of person he is. It didn't matter that there were five games left in the season before mm-hmm. playoffs, and we had basically were already in the playoffs. He was blocking that shot no matter what. Yeah. Just who he is as a person. So, yeah, it sucks. He's a heck of a player, and he would have helped for sure, but it's part of the game, and it's how it works out.
You, you know, last year you had such a great year. What do you have to do to not only duplicate that, but maybe, you know, turn yourself into a perennial 30, 40 goal guy?
Yeah, just play my game. I think a lot of it, I think, is between my ears, where it's I go out there and want to score, I want to play well, and make a difference. I don't think I'm definitely not a passenger in any way, and sense that I just want to get through games or anything. So yeah. It's. Just stuff like that. I think stay confident, kind of be consistent and play my game every night.
Yeah, I remember after the playoff series, you were as disappointed as I've ever seen you. And not that we've known each other a ton, but it was very clear that you were being accountable for the way and you want to produce and all that. But you know, part of it is you can't fast forward to the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. So what do you have to do maybe to use this year to elevate yourself going into that postseason, this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think just don't wait to turn it on. I think it's hard to play a whole season and then get to playoffs and say, okay, now I'm going to play this way. That's just not how it works. So I think kind of the more that I play like how I need to play and play a more dominant physical style, the better off I'm going to be. Then it's not a switch. It's just going out there to play another game.
So. Right. You mentioned Flower just now when we were talking. And I was struck by how you said that was also one of your, wow, I'm really in the lead. When he walked into the room and your jaw dropped. What is it about him? He's just got this aura about him. I mean, he's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer, all that.
Yeah, he's one of the best to ever play, that's for sure. And like you say, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, he's an awesome guy, I think. He walked up to someone that had no clue about hockey. They never know how successful he was or anything. He's just a good person, treats everyone the same, has time for everyone. I think that goes a long way, and people respect that a lot about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 8 wins from passing Patrick Waugh for second all-time this year. What will that be like in the room when he hits that milestone for all you guys?
It'll be awesome, I think. I mean, everyone in our room just wants to see him see him do good, obviously, and that's going to happen. He's still a hell of a goalie. It's so impressive seeing him every day and how good he is and how much he competes and stuff like that. So I think just how close our locker room is, doesn't matter who it is. You're achieving something that's big, everyone's happy, but to do something that big is going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So.
You mentioned Dumba before. I mean, you know, for as long as I can remember, it feels like since he was drafted, he's been a staple on this team. Huge presence on the team in terms of energy and just him as a person, a human being. You know, how hard do you think it was for him to have to let his career here in Minnesota go on? And what will it be like to not have that presence in the room this year?
Yeah, it's going to be different. I think guys have to step up and replace that energy he brings. But, I mean, that's a top-of-the-line human being, guy that took care of everyone, made sure everyone was having fun, kind of relaxed, but serious at the same time and accountable for everything. Obviously, being an assistant captain, quite the leader and stuff like that. So I think that guy loved Minnesota. He had nothing but good things to ever say about it. So obviously it stinks to see him leave, yeah. But It's kind of how it goes sometimes.
He wasn't just charitable off the ice. Somebody was telling me that one of your teammates told me that there was an outing last year in Raleigh that he, like, at that high-end bowling alley across from your hotel, where he just showed up for 5 minutes, and anyway, he goes on with his day, and then all of a sudden you guys are paying the bill, and it's been paid for by him. I mean, that's just, he used to do a lot of stuff like that, right?
Definitely takes care of his teammates, that's for sure. I think just a guy that wants everyone to get along, everyone to have fun and stuff like that. And throughout a course of an 82-game season, it goes a long way to be able to look at your teammates and have fun. And definitely he's quick to recognize when those situations are happening. And yeah, to do something like that, I think, just speaks to who he is as a person.
A couple more for you, Matt. I was talking to Jake Middleton the other day, and he was talking about Pat Maroon, and he just, like, right when he started talking about it, he just started laughing. That he's already kind of become this, like, this team, sort of like jokester, but also somebody that can maybe replace that sort of energy and presence that a Matt Dumba brings.
Yeah, for sure. I think... I've hung out with him a few times, obviously worked out and skated a bit this last week. So just getting to know him off the bat, I think he's just an easy guy to talk to, easy guy to confide in. And obviously he's just lighthearted, has fun. Only good things to say about him.
Yeah. What do you think it'll be like to go to Sweden this year, play the games there? You have 5 Swedes on your team, maybe more if Wallstedt's here and things like that. I mean, I got to think it's going to be super exciting for your Swedish teammates to show off their country, but also for the citizens in that hockey rich to see you guys play.
Yeah, it'll be sweet. I think obviously it's pretty cool to be able to go there and and kind of spend that time with the team and bond and stuff like that, but just to play in front of a Swedish crowd and kind of see what that's like, it's going to be different, but obviously it's going to be great. I think everyone's looking forward to getting over there.
Yep. With I heard that Connor Durr is moving in with you. Is that?
No.
Oh, not Durr. Who is it?
Shazi was going to move in with me.
All right. Yeah. But not anymore? Or
We're waiting. We're waiting for a few things, but... Okay. That's the plan, so we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you about your dad. I mean, I always see him at these games. I mean, one of the great stories last year is when you got the hat trick and he throws his hat and gets it caught on the netting and all that stuff. And then I was talking to him, he said it's like almost sometimes he's like the kid. Like, you're telling him, text me when you get home and things like that. What's it like having him come to so many games? And why do you think it just seems like you play? Is it just coincidence that you play your best hockey when he's in the rink?
I don't know. It seems to work out like that, but... No, obviously we're super close. We always have been, and my parents come out to see me as much as they can. Obviously, they got other stuff going on with work, and my dad has other kids and stuff like that. So it's always nice for him to come out, especially him and my mom both. But it's always nice to spend time with them, kind of sit back, let them cook me some meals at home and stuff like that. But yeah, it seems to be a coincidence that when he's there, things seem to go my way. So,
last one for you. Just expectations this season, Matt. I mean, obviously, you guys have been one of the best regular season teams for a long time in the Central Division. Like we said before, you can't just fast forward, snap your fingers, and be in the playoffs to try to get over the hump. But what are the expectations this year for a very different team?
Yeah, it's what everyone thinks. I mean, there's no question that we know what everyone says. We can't get out of the first round, whatever. It's taking that next step forward to get through that and find a way to win. It's that simple. I mean, that's our expectation. It's always been our expectation. It's a hard thing to do, but it's the step that we need to take.
So. Well, Matt, really appreciate you joining. Looking forward to watching you continue to grow this season and maybe hit that 40-goal mark. Who knows?
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see.
It'll be awesome. A couple times ago, we were in Vegas. You couldn't even, technically go into a casino, and now here you are, and you're a superstar at the NHL Media Tour. Pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks. That is Matt Boldy. We'll be right back after this. Well, my thanks to Matt Boldy for joining this week's edition from Straight from the Source. If you're an Athletic subscriber, or even if you're not an Athletic subscriber, the Athletic Hockey Show is where to go. Pat Brisson, the super agent for many, many NHL athletes, including Elias Pettersson and Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Sidney Crosby, Trevor Zegras, who's unsigned right now, Jake Sanderson, and how that affects Owen Power. We talk all about that on a podcast that I did with Pierre Lebrun. Again, that's the Athletic Hockey Show Roundtable this week, along with Rob Pizzo and Jesse Granger. And not only do I talk to Pat Brisson with Pierre, but I talk to Pierre about all the things that's going on in the NHL. So definitely check out that podcast. That comes out on Wednesday. I've subscribed to the Athletic NHL's YouTube channel, youtube.com/theathletichockeyshow. And get a new subscription to The Athletic for just $2 a month for 12 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Again, $1.99 per month for 12 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. My special thanks to Matt Boldy. This is Michael Russo from Straight From The Source. And Joe Smith and I plan to be back with Pat Maroon on our next show. Talk to you next week, everybody.